What about you? Do you believe the Bible? There's an outline for church order, for example, in the Bible, and that goes against all modern thinking. Well, maybe we should add assumptions to the Word of God to make it fit what we want to hear. One really common one is, well, you know, 1 Corinthians, that's only for the people living, you know, 2,000 years ago. It's not valid for us anymore. As you see, you can just add an assumption and you can make it say whatever you want instead of just believing what it says. Another one, the Bible says sin will hurt us. And the Bible says fornication is sin. Well, modern thinking is that such ideas are outdated and ridiculous. But it's up to you guys. Do you believe the Lord Jesus when he says there is joy in following his commandments? Or will you allow your culture to define everything you believe? Well, people will laugh at you for putting God's word first. But I would just say, suck it up, because in other countries they'll shoot you for the same reason. So if we go one more slide, we might ask why the creation versus naturalism conflict is so emotional. Well, it's because they represent our worldview, which is the way we perceive truth. Naturalists may not admit that, but it doesn't change anything. We click again. Naturalism says truth is relative. There is no God. Therefore, miracles are impossible. Death and struggle fuel progression. Ultimately, there is no meaning to life. The Bible says truth is absolute. There is a God. Therefore, miracles are not impossible. Death and struggle are a curse from which Jesus Christ came to set us free. And ultimately, there is meaning to life. So, all worldviews start with faith. While again, the naturalist denies that his view is faith-based, ultimately, naturalism is unbelief. It's not even faith. It's unbelief. So, the Bible embraces the fact that a worldview starts with faith. The Bible embraces it. We had it in the verse in Hebrews. It's not something to apologize for, and it's not something to be ashamed of. Putting God's word first is not only the reasonable thing to do, but God requires it of us. And that brings us to the last slide. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. So last one. Where will you put your faith? And I'll put mine in the God of the Bible. Is there any questions? Wow, I must have done a good job. Anyway, I don't believe there's no questions, but anyway, it's been such a help to me when I first found this out, when I first was exposed to the truth that origins, it's not, you know, what the world teaches you, what you learn in the classroom. It's not true science that they're teaching you. It's an interpretation built on assumptions. Now, we're going to even have amongst Christians, there's going to be differing views on origins or exactly how things happened. So, again, instead of just fighting about, you know, who's right and who's wrong and all that, we can just learn to see, well, what are the underlying assumptions in what differing people believe? And I would encourage you to hold on to the one that fits most closely with the Word of God and the one that doesn't require you to add assumptions to what the Word of God says, or that makes you have to kind of twist what it says. Because ultimately, I believe that all true Christians will say that the Bible is the final word, and that it is the truth, and that it can be taken literally, and so forth. But these differing views can still occur. And why does it occur? I believe it occurs because they will add an assumption. And as I said, it's so tempting to you know, just accept a little bit about, you know, what the popular theories are today and kind of just squeeze them into what the Bible says. But I believe that the Bible is where we should start. And we don't need science to interpret the Bible. We can start with the Bible and come up with scientific models, as I've even showed you in some examples here, which is an amazing thing. And the Word of God will stand. Maybe just to add one thing. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, then there is a divine person living inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach us in the things concerning God's Word. And that we will know and have the assurance, not an assumption, that God's Word is 100% infallible. It's the divine written Word of God. And we can base everything on it. And He will teach us and show us by the Spirit of God a divine person. And I'm always struck with that when we have these, should I say, for us it's not a debate, and it wasn't presented as an option for us because we know what we have believed. And it's good for us to be challenged with the way the world teaches in order so that we are able to stand on the Word of God and what the Spirit of God teaches us. But it's amazing to me that as a Christian, when we think, first of all, of God, we think of His Son, Jesus Christ, and when He promised that the Comforter would come, that this divine person is living inside of us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we have that divine teacher, and we don't have to go to the world to find and to be taught in these things, but that the Word of God is the basis and foundation for everything, and that can help us and teach us to stand up against all that this world teaches. So we thank you, Dirk, for the effort that you put in. And it's always challenging. And I know these things you're being faced with on a very, very regular basis. And you know, the Lord will surely reward those who are able and willing and who stand up for Him in the face, even though you're alone in that classroom. You're alone in that university amongst all the students, your peers. But to stand up for what is right. The Lord will be honored and glorified, and He surely will reward those who honor Him. So let's just bow our heads, and we'll give thanks for the refreshments.